had to write this one down because I've had quite a hectic day, and I knew I wouldn't remember what to say. It's my last day here. Tomorrow I leave. Anyway, this is in the church a jubilee year, as you know, 2025, and we in Anawim are also celebrating a kind of jubilee year, our 50th anniversary as a community. Our foundation day is December 8th. Founded in 1975, so 2025, 50 years. And today is a significant day in our anniversary year. It's another anniversary, as you know, the 18th anniversary of the death of our founder, Father Francis. You can see a picture of him here. I think beautifully displayed, simply but beautifully displayed there. He's in that picture, he's standing next to or in front of the icon of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, which is also under the altar there. So I think it's a very appropriate picture. This picture was actually taken there in the library, which is now the Father Francis Memorial Room. I don't know who took the picture. Did somebody here take the picture? That was Jerry? Yeah. Jerry, okay, thank you, Jerry. and that picture is, in fact, that framed picture is in the room. We took it right off the shelf and brought it in here to the chapel so that we would have a reminder of what the focus of the, or the reason for the celebration tonight is. It's the death anniversary of Father Francis. In this picture, actually in the original picture, on the other side of the icon is Sister Barbara. Some of you have seen that. So this is a close-up. So you only see Father Francis and the icon, but Sister Barbara is the hidden other founder of the Anawim, the co-founder or co-foundress of the Anawim community. So it's worth mentioning her as well. Now, I have another picture here. This was also taken by Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Many of you have seen this picture of Father Francis. That was taken right here in the chapel. He was sitting right here. And this was on August 6, 2007, just 2 months before he died. So this is a picture of him at Mass. So you get the here you see him as the instrument through whom we receive the icon and the Anawim spirituality. Here you see him as a Mass. I mean, as a priest, serving, offering the Mass. And okay, so that's a good picture to remember as well. Okay. Well, since the day of his death, every year for 18 years, I have offered a Mass in the Philippines on his death anniversary, and I have gone to the site of his burial, which is right outside my door. So, and honored him at the tomb and prayed at his tomb. That's at our Anawim Center in the Philippines. And we always have a big celebration in his honor there. And that's, again, very fitting because that's where he died and that's where he's buried. So when you honor somebody's death, you go and visit their tomb. When I realized that this year I was not going to be able to get back to the Philippines in time for October 1st, I decided that I want to be here in Corning. I'm not going to be visiting my family or going anywhere else on October 1st. I want to be here because this is the place. If you're going to be anywhere to honor Father Francis, it should be here. This chapel, this house, this town, Corning. As it turns out, it also makes it possible for me to travel tomorrow, which is Feast of the Guardian Angels. So it's a good day to travel with the angels. But that's not the reason why I chose to be here on October 1st for this celebration. And I know even though we make a big thing of this anniversary in the Philippines, because that's where Father's buried, here in Corning, the community does it usually in a quieter way, a simpler way to observe his anniversary. But my sense was that we should do something more this time, this anniversary year. In a sense, my presence kind of forced this celebration on the Corning community. Well, they were very happy to welcome it, but it was a little bit out of the usual routine. So anyway, I've been looking forward to this celebration actually ever since I realized I would be here on October 1st. And now the moment is here. And now what do I do? Why now what do I say? I kind of made this thing happen. And now I'm on the spot to honor Father Francis. And this question came to me, well, how do you honor the memory of Father Francis in a fitting way? Early this morning, in fact, when I woke up, this question came to me, now what am I going to do? It's October 1st. And so I interiorly turned to him, to Father Francis, and I immediately could hear him say, this is not about me. Don't focus on me. follow the liturgy, ponder the word of the day. This is not about me. Ask Mary to lead you into the heart of Jesus. Ask Mary to lead you into the school of the heart. And that's what he would always say. And so he said it again today. I could almost hear his voice. And of course, and that's what Father Francis was always doing. That's what, with relentless consistency, he was following the liturgy. It was his anchor. In the liturgy, he found light, he found direction, he found richness of life in the Lord, in the daily liturgy. And that's what he wanted everyone to know. The liturgy is not just, you know, a bunch of prayers in a book or a form to follow. It's life. It's something to live. And that's what he taught us to do, to live the liturgy, to follow the liturgy. So that's what we'll do. We'll turn to the liturgy, the word of the day, word of God, chosen for this day. As it turns out, I'm not going to say anything about Nehemiah. I don't want to go too long. If I were really following in Father Francis's footsteps, I would go very long. But anyway, in honor of him, I do want to reflect on the gospel. But first, actually, I mean, not only tonight, we should do this every day, right? Follow the word of God every day, not just tonight or just on a special occasion or just on a Sunday, but every day, in every now moment, we have a guide to how to live. It comes from God. He wants us to have life and more life. Well, before I turn to the gospel, let me add one thought that came to me as I reflected on Father Francis. He was in a kind of awkward position as the founder. And I've seen this difficulty in accounts of many other founders. In fact, in the story of many people whom God has chosen and given a special task or a special message, and the dilemma is, it goes something like this: how to do this new work, or how to give this blessed message, or how to convey what God Himself wants the messenger to convey or to say or to do, without drawing attention to oneself. How to convey the message without distracting from the message as the messenger. So that's what Father Francis had to do. He had to proclaim this thing, but then he was the one proclaiming it. So naturally, he's on the stage. Well, I was reflecting on this, and I realized, well, sometimes the Lord Himself solves this dilemma or this problem, and He does it by hiding the messenger. Hiding the messenger. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is the best example of this. I mean, here's Mary, completely hidden, completely unknown, unnoticed. And even though she is the Mother of God, the Immaculate Conception, our Queen Mother, Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, nobody knew that in her lifetime. So she was hidden. Another case of this being hidden is today's saint, Saint Therese. Saint Therese, well, she had the advantage of being hidden away in a Carmelite monastery. So no matter how great she was, or no matter how great her gift was, nobody knew it. In fact, she was given a great, great gift. We should acknowledge this today. She was given a gift for the church, a new way, the way of spiritual childhood, the little way, the way of absolute confidence in God, because God is the one we rely on, and we're just little children. It's a beautiful spirituality. And she lived it so well, and in such a hidden way, that there was no way it could ever be known. Seemingly, it was going to be buried, the secret would be buried in the cemetery of the Carmel in Lisieux there. But after her death, this is extraordinary, you know the story, after her death, the things she scribbled in her notebook for her sister, who was her superior, was spread around. And before long, this extraordinary gift came out into the open, and it spread everywhere. And now we honor Saint Therese as a doctor of the church, an expert in the spiritual life. As simple and as little as it seems, it's profound. The little way, the way of spiritual childhood is profound. And she's a doctor of the church, and she's patroness of missionaries. I know everybody nowadays wants to be an influencer. Well, she's a much greater influencer, even though she never got out of the convent, and she died at age 24. So, okay. Anyway, that's Saint Therese, which shows us, God can do anything. He can do anything with anybody, as long as that anybody is willing to follow Him, really follow Him, which is what the gospel is about here, and I'll get to that in a moment. but I haven't gotten to the dilemma of Father Francis, which is, and the dilemma of many people whom God has chosen and kind of put out in public, and that's the dilemma of how to serve without becoming the center of attention, how to serve selflessly, no matter what anyone thinks, even if they hail you. And the master of this is St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, who was a great man, he was the greatest of the prophets, and he had a great message. He was sent to prepare the way for the Messiah and to point out the Messiah when he came. And lo and behold, the people started to focus on him, John. Maybe he's the Messiah, they were saying. Maybe he's the Messiah. What's John's reaction? No. I'm not even worthy to unfasten his sandal strap. I'm not the Messiah. He's the Messiah. He must increase, I must decrease. It's the great example of how a servant of the Lord really serves, even if he's famous. And there's many examples of this. I remembered St. Faustina. You know St. Faustina. She was given a very important message. She had to write it down. She had to share it. And she dreaded being like exposed as the messenger. She had a couple times in her diary, I want to disappear. I don't want to be the focus of people. I want everyone to know divine mercy, but I don't want them to know me. Mother Teresa is another example, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. As she's trying to do her work, she's trying to serve the poorest of the poor. She's trying to found the order that the Lord told her to found. And as she's going around doing it, people are saying, hey, there's a living saint. There's a living saint. Look at this woman. You know, let's put her on the stage. And she had to constantly say, "What? This is not about me. This is not about me. Holiness is the call of everybody. So if you want to look for a living saint, become one." That's the kind of thing she would say, Mother Teresa. Anyway, by the way, I don't know if this is relevant, but I'm going to throw it out there. This is one of the things that distinguishes an authentic a prophet, an authentic servant of God from a cult leader. Leaders of cults demand that they be acknowledged and that they be followed without question, that they stand at the center and everybody knows them. People have questioned whether Anuwim is a cult. I don't know if you've ever thought that, but that has been a question that's come up. And one look at Father Francis should answer the question. He was not a cult leader. I mean, yes, he was a forceful preacher. He was a very charismatic figure, and he did call people to follow. He followed, but not to follow him, the person, but to follow the way he had been given, the Anuwim way. It's a very different thing. And he was quite open about his own weaknesses, his own unworthiness. And if anyone ever tried to make a big deal out of him, he would certainly let that person know that it was going on the wrong path. Anyway, Father Francis knew it was God who gave him this gift, this Anuwim way, and it was Mary who showed him how to enter more deeply into it. And he was not going to keep it to himself. The message must be given no matter what anyone thinks about the messenger. And that's the right way. That's the right attitude for all of us. Huh? God's will must be at the center no matter what anyone thinks of us. And this is part of Father Francis's undeniable authenticity. And everybody who met him knew that. I mean, you might not like him. Some people didn't like him. But you couldn't argue that he wasn't a real servant of God and he wasn't dedicated to being a messenger of God. He was going to live this way, even if no one followed him. Remember that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. Some of you know this song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And one of the verses says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. That's what an authentic servant of God does. And that's what Father Francis did. Well, we did follow. Some of us followed. But I mean, even if we didn't, he still would have. Which gives us a good introduction to tonight's gospel. Okay, let's get to the word of God, which fittingly enough is all about following Jesus. This gospel passage, it's all about the cost of being a follower, a disciple, a genuine disciple. One disciple comes up to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. That sounds great. That sounds like a great thing to say. We should say that. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I will do your will. I will follow you. And you would expect Jesus to say, great, great. But does he say, great? Does he say, I'm so happy that you recognize that I'm worthy of your attention? Nothing like that. He says, okay, following me does not mean enjoying the glory of being with a famous preacher. Following me means having nowhere to rest your head. The Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Birds, they have their nests. Foxes have their lairs. Not the Son of Man. Birds belong to this world. Foxes belong to this world. I don't belong to this world. And my followers don't belong to this world. That's what he's saying. So following him means not belonging to this world, but belonging to God's world, God's will, and to heaven, ultimately to heaven. It means being detached from this world. And you can imagine, I can imagine Father Francis saying things just like this. And anyone who knew him knows that's the sort of thing he would say. He wouldn't say, I'm glad you're following me. He would say, I don't know. If you go up to Father Francis and say, I'm going to follow the Anuim way, I'm a real Anuim, he would say, frankly, I got to question your call. Frankly, I want to ask if you will really be faithful to this call. I want to know if you're more attached to this call or to your own will. And Father was a very challenging person. Are you more attached to your will? Are you more attached to your flesh, to your stuff, he would say, to your pleasure buds? He would say things like that. He would challenge. No, what are you talking about following? Are you really going to follow? And so he spoke a lot like the prophets of the Old Testament. Prophets of the Old Testament who were very forceful, they made a lot of people angry. Angry at them, and angry at that they spoke that way. And a lot of people got angry at Father Francis because he said things like that. Forced people to look deeper. Well, how do you think people reacted to Jesus? When he said, come away, and I will come to me and I will give you rest. Oh, they loved that. But he didn't mean rest like on a soft pillow. Because here he says, I have nowhere to rest my head. So he's talking about a different rest, a deeper rest. And when he said in tonight's gospel, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God, how do you think people reacted? They either recognized that this was an authentic call, or they said, what's this crazy guy telling me what to do, bury the dead? You can imagine the reaction, because we have those reactions ourselves when we get challenged. Okay. And when Jesus said things like that, like he did in tonight's gospel, he said it so that his followers would look deeper to ask, well, who are they really following? Is it their own idea or is it God's idea? And that's what Father Francis is always asking us to do. While he was here on earth, that's what he did. And in heaven, he's still doing it. He's asking us to look deeper. He's asking us to examine, who are we really following? Whose will are we really following? Are we simply looking for earthly comfort? Because if so, this way is not for us. Are we seeking an escape from suffering? Of course, our nature is always seeking an escape from suffering, but is our deeper spirit running from the cross? Because if we are, we're not going to find life at the cross. Are we more attached to anything? To our families, to our status, to our possessions, anything at all? If we're more attached to anything than to following him, well, then we're not going to find life, fullness of life. We cannot say to the Lord, yes, but. That's what we see in the gospel. Yes, I'll follow you, but I got this other thing to do first. Yes, but. Because we can never let our objections interfere with his will. We all have objections. We all have questions. We all have agendas. We have fears, confusion. We all do. But we can't let them interfere with God's will. That's what these followers or so-called followers are doing in this gospel. Yes, I will, but the right way to do this is to put the objection aside first, and the last word is the will of God. And one example of this, just to give one example, is St. Peter, when Jesus said, well, you know, go out and try casting your net again. Peter had an objection. We did it all night. Remember that? We did it all night. But if you say so, I will cast the nets. You see the difference? He still has an objection, but he voices it. We fished all night. We caught nothing. That's the objection. But I'm going to do your will. You said so. See what the bottom line is. Now, if we say, yes, I'll do your will, but I'm going to do this, that won't work. But if we say, I've got this objection, I have this fear, I have this agenda, but if you say so, I'll do it, that will bear fruit. Okay, that's what Father Francis would say. You know, Jesus, when he challenges us, or when he calls us, or when he provokes this kind of objection in our heart, he's doing it because he loves us so deeply, so intensely, so intimately. He doesn't want to lose us. He doesn't want to intimidate us. He doesn't want to manipulate us or trick us. He wants us to make a free, generous response of love. Love for love. And that's why he says in tonight's gospel, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. He's saying, don't cling to anything more than to me. Don't cling to anything more than to God's will. No objection. Don't look back at what you left behind. Wasn't that great anyway? And what did you leave behind? No, don't look back. It would ruin the field, the project. It certainly wasn't. Whatever we left behind is nothing compared to what we have in the Lord. Nothing. That's certainly what St. Therese knew. That's what Therese would tell us on her feast day. Choose the Lord. Have absolute confidence in the Lord. There isn't anything else. Put your trust in him. Don't trust in anything else. Here I'll finish with this here, this gospel acclamation today, what we used to call the Alleluia verse. I thought we were going to sing Alleluia, so I was waiting for the Alleluia. So if I'm not going to sing it, I'm just going to read it to you. It's from Philippians chapter 3. I consider all things so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. It's two options. We either choose rubbish or we choose the Lord. As St. Paul tells us this. And this is exactly the kind of thing Father Francis would say. Choose rubbish or choose the Lord. Which one do you want? And he would say this, because he loved the writings of St. Paul. He loved to read and proclaim what St. Paul said. It's the word of God. But he also would say this sort of thing because he himself was a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. And he would say, anything else is rubbish. So much rubbish. Which makes me think again of that song. It goes perfectly well with this gospel. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, you know this song.
Oh, yeah.
Can we sing it?
Yeah.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.